Parshas Shmini Beis Tfila Tov Shin Ein Vov. I would like to ask the question from those who gathered here. Look around you, and I'm offering with the brightest person among us. We'd like to stand up. The most brilliant guy among us. Next question. Who's the most gifted person among us? Would you like to stand up? How about the strongest person? The wisest person? Would anyone... Why is no one standing up? Let me ask again. What would you think if indeed one of us would stand up? Yes? You ask for the wisest person. Oh yeah? You ask for the cleverest person. Highest IQ. Most successful. What would you think about that person were you to stand up? A Baal Gaiva? A humble person wouldn't look at himself as being the best guy, the most cleverest guy. Surely, that's a Baal Gaiva. A Baal Gaiva would see himself as being number one. A humble person would see himself as Afra Da'ara. But what do we find in this week's parsha? In this week's parsha, we meet a terrible tragedy. At the pinnacle, we've been waiting for so long for Shruas Hashchina, Parshas Truma, Tetzave, Kitiso, Vayakel, Pkudei. We spent so much time, so much Am Yisrael have digged deep into their pocket to lay out the money. They've waited so long for this precious moment. They've done 8 days of Miluim, and Hine, the fire came, wonderful. But at the same time, the very same fire killed Nadav and Avihu. A terrible tragedy. What does Moshe Rabbeinu respond? This is to be found in Perek Yud, Pasuk Gimel. Vayomer Moshe l'Aaron, Hu asher diber Hashem leimor b'kroivai ekodesh. Explains Rashi that Hashem becomes great when people see Midas Hadin acted out on his craving, and people develop a Yiras Hashem, a Pachad. If by the craving that's how they're judged, what about us? Says Moshe Rabbeinu, Hu asher diber, I knew in advance this would happen. Because Hashem already said, to be met in Shmois, Perek Chof Tes, the Nigdash Bichvoidi. Moshe says, I knew it's going to happen. The Nigdash Bichvoidi, Al Tikri Bichvoidi, Ele Bemechubodai. I knew that the Midas Hadin would be active on the Mechubodai. The Mechubadim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Omar Lai Moshe L'Aaron, Ha'isi Sovur, I knew it was going to happen. But I thought, Oy Bi, Oy Becha. I knew it was going to happen to number one. There's 600,000 Jews around us. Not him. It's, who is number one? Either me, or you. Those are the only options I had. And in fact, now I realize, since Nadav and Avihu were chosen, and I realize I made a mistake. In fact, I'm not number one, not number two. Rather, they were number one and number two. And the question to be asked, Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah testifies, he was Ish Moshe Orav Ma'od Mikol Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu was the humblest person on earth. How could Moshe Rabbeinu view himself as being number one or number two? That's why I asked, would the greatest person of his like to stand up? You all told me that no, that's it's not appropriate. Moshe Rabbeinu is a humble person. Why did he view himself as being number one? He should have viewed himself as being number zero. Says the Or Yohel, Rav Leib Chassman, a very big insight. What does humbleness mean? A person who doesn't recognize his gifts, a person who doesn't recognize his greatness, is not an onov. He's a shaita. You're a fool. If you don't recognize who you are, I'm so bright, I'm so challenged, so gifted. If you don't recognize that, you're a shaita. That's not anova. So what is anova then? Anova is a person who knows who he is, but he doesn't feel haughty because it's a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not really mine. Who is the person who has under his hands, he has millions and millions and millions of dollars, but he doesn't feel rich? Who has control of millions and millions and millions of dollars, maybe more than you've ever seen in your life? He touches more dollars than you may ever touch in your life, but he doesn't feel rich. Who is that person? Ah, Pesach. The bank manager. The bank manager has under his control. Right? Same idea? Countless amounts of money. But he doesn't feel rich because he knows it's not his money. He manages the money. He's responsible for the money. He needs to put it in a wise place. But he knows it's not mine. I'm in charge of it. I need to look after it. Use it in the best way. He doesn't feel rich. A humble person is not someone who denies his greatness. He recognizes his greatness. But he just says, it's a gift from Hashem. It's not me. It's not mine. This is my responsibility. It's the mission I'm given by Hashem to use these gifts in the best way. There's nothing for me to be haughty about. Because even though my gifts are different than your gifts, but so what? I'm just more responsible. It doesn't make me greater. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu knew he was. But he was still an honor. But nothing personal. He recognized the truth. And he knew he was either number one or number two. The Mishnah says in Sotah, Mem Tesamot Beis, Mishameis Rebbe Batla Anova. The Mishnah in the end of Sotah, describing various sages when they died, the world is missing, the world is lacking, there's no one to replace them. And says the Mishnah, when Rebbe died, Batla Anova. There's no more Anova. Said Rav Yosef, Omar Rav Yosef Latana. Rav Yosef taught the one who was saying over the Mishnah, Leititni Anova. Don't teach that Mishnah. It's not incorrect. You can't say that Mishameis Rebbe Batla Anova. You can't say that's not true. Why? The Ika Ano, because it's me. I'm an Anov. How can you say that when Mishameis Rebbe Batla Anova, it's me, and I'm an Anov? So that's what the Gemara says in Saita. L'chora, it doesn't make sense. How can an Onav claim to be the biggest Onav? Rabbi Yisrael, I'm an Onav, look at me. How could that be? Teretz says, Rabbi Yosef knew who he was. But he, in the same way, if I could describe Reuven, look at him, he's an Onav, you wouldn't think it's inappropriate. I'm not doing that myself. I'm telling you, he's an Onav. That's fine. When Rabbi Yosef was talking about himself, it was as if he was talking about someone else. There's nothing personal there. It was just describing the truth. I am an Onav. I have nothing about myself. I'm not proud of anything. Of course Rabbi Yosef, in learning, knew it was a Talmud Chacham, he would argue. But I'm an Onav. Other people maybe are not, but I'm an Onav. He had nothing personal, no personal connection to his title. So we've learned the idea of another, the idea of a person recognizing who he is, being real. You don't have to be fake. You don't have to say, I'm a garnish. You don't have to say that. I mean, obviously it's not appropriate to say, if you're going to boast about what you're doing and your achievements, that obviously it's inappropriate. But you have to know who you are. Ata seif. But it's a gift. It's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a mission. It's a responsibility. I heard many times from Rav Olba, and I've said it over a few times. Rav Olba would say, a person who doesn't know his shortcomings is a chisaron. It's not good not to be aware of your shortcomings. And you'd shout, but oy vavoy! You would shout, oy vavoy! A person who doesn't know his strengths. A person needs to know his strengths. Because through your strengths, there's a person who can build himself up and grow. So we saw, knowing your strengths is not a sirat anova. Knowing who you are, knowing what Hashem has given you, knowing the koichas, recognizing it's a responsibility, and we should use them in the best possible way. Mi inyan le inyan bois inyan. The Torah describes what was the sin of Nadav and Avihu. This is to be found in Perek Yud, Pasuk Aleph. Vayikhu bnei Aroi Nadav Avihu eish machtosai. They took the shovel with the fire. Ve'asimu le'aktores ve'akrivu lefnei Hashem. They brought their own private ktoiras. Eish zara asheloi siva oisam. It was a foreign fire which Hashem didn't command them to do. This was their chet. Rav Hirsch in his Chumash points out, it doesn't say Hashem said not to do it. It doesn't say Hashem said, don't bring Torahs. It's what it says, Hashem didn't ask for it. It's Eizor Hashaloi Tziva Oysam. Why is that? Says Rav Hirsch, when a person is looking for Kirvas Hashem, he's seeking to find the Kirvas Hashem. A person feels, you know what, maybe I should learn, go to Meron, by Chatzois HaLaila, between Chatzois and the Mishmeres HaShnia, after doing Tfilas Sheleg, take a dip in the Hermon, doing Tfilas Sheleg, I learn spooky Kabbalah, the Gevaldik. This surely will bring me Kirvas Hashem. That's what a person may feel. But in reality, the biggest Kirvas Hashem is what? Doing what Hashem says. Following his instructions, that's the biggest kirvas Hashem. In the world of karbonis, there are various options given. There's a oila, there's a chatos, there's a shlomim, v'chulei. There's nedava, there's chayva, all sorts of options. The way to achieve kirvas Hashem is following the instructions, but not to make up your own zacha, your own ideas, your own visions of kirvas Hashem. It's the opposite of a korban, because korbanos is doing kasher tziva Hashem, doing what Hashem says. He says this is the opposite of korbanos to avodah zarah. To avodah zarah, you also sacrifice korbanos. What's the idea? So you're trying to force the avodah zarah to respond to you. I'm giving you a korban, now do what I want. A korban to avodah zarah is try to enslave the power, to make the power give to me. That's the idea of a korban to avodah zarah. Avodah zarah is a certain power, and I'm trying to get the power from it. Should act for me, so I give him a korban. But in Yiddishkeit, Judaism, the korban is not making Hashem be responsible to us. It's giving ourselves to Hashem. I'm doing what you said. I'm doing kasher tziva Hashem. That's the idea of a korban. The Medrash says in the Sifra that Nadav and Avihu, when they saw the fire, Omdu loisiv avo al avo. Lashon HaMedrash. It was love after love. They were so moved by the heavenly fire. They said, let's bring some more. Avo al avo. They meant for good. But it wasn't Hashem didn't ask for such a thing. There's no such thing as volunteering Torah. Torah doesn't come by Nadava. So therefore, it's a big yisoid. It's the biggest kavod is Pasha doing kasher tziva Hashem. Keeping halacha is kasher tziva Hashem. A son tells his father, Abba, I respect you so much. I look up to you. Kibud av kemoy shamayim. The father says, great. Can you bring me a cup of tea? So the son, no, I can't be bothered. I'm reading a book. Do you mind going to the makolet and buying something for me? No, why should I? So, what does the father tell the son? That's called mechabit me. You claim you're mechabit me. Kibud av ve'im. If you don't do what I say, it's not called kavod. If you want to show kirvas Hashem, the number one in our list should be following what he says. Adasayf. Keeping the laws of the Torah. That's the biggest kirvas Hashem. Before you make up your own stuff, follow the laws of the Torah. And that's what we learned from this week's parasha. There's nothing wrong, nothing intrinsically wrong with bringing Torah. There's no tziva yisom. You can't make up your own zach. I want to finish this off with food for thought. So on one hand, we learn the importance of just sticking to the laws. But there is a concept of Hasidus. The Mesiras Yesharim in Shara Hasidus says, what is Hasidus? It is going above and beyond, more than what was said. There is an idea of extending, going beyond what was actually spoken. This needs to be addressed. When exactly is it appropriate? When is inappropriate? If you look carefully, it's still within the spirit. Even Shara Hasidus, that we recognize what Hashem's will is, and we go above and beyond more than He commanded us to do. It's still within the spirit of what Hashem wants, and not that we make up our own zachen. So therefore, even a person recognizes kashrinus, recognizes gifts, he still has to be following kasher tziva Hashem. Okay, Aaron, Nadav, and Elazar and Isamar, they survive. And Moshe says, you have to keep on going, go ahead with the korbanos, eat the mincha. There were three seirim brought that day. There was the seir for the miluim. Every day there was seirim brought, korbanos brought. There was seir nachshon. It was the day of nachshon as a nasi brought a korban. It was also Rosh Chodesh. The Yom HaShmini was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Rosh Chodesh, we also bring a seir, a korban chatos. What happened? What actually happened? This is to be found in Perek Yud, Pasuk Tes Zayin. V'seir achatos doroish dorash Moshe v'hinei soirof. Moshe Rabbeinu came back and he sees they didn't eat the seir achatos, rather they burnt it. V'yitzoif al olozo v'risom apni aron esor nema. And Moshe Rabbeinu gets angry. Vayiktsoif. And he challenges them. Why didn't you eat the chatos? I told you to eat it. Madua lo achaltem es chatos b'mkoyim ha-kodesh? Why didn't you fulfill your mission? Was it something? Did it become possible? Did the dam, was it taken inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim and made it possible? No. What was wrong with it? So why didn't you eat it? Achol toichlu yisor b'kodesh kasher tzivesi. You should have eaten it. And Aaron responds and says, no, since we're an oinen, v'achalti chatos hayoyim hayitav v'inei Hashem. Aaron says back, does Hashem want me to eat it? So Rashi explains, Chazal tell us, Aaron was telling him, it's true that you heard we're commanded to eat the Kodshei Shor. Kodshei Shor was the one-time korbanos, which was the Sir Nachshoin and the Sir Amiluim. But the Sir Shchodesh is Kodshei Doirois. Were we told to eat the Kodshei Doirois, Baninus? Vayishma Moshe Vayitav Beinov. Moshe hears and he says, you know, you're right, that's what I heard. Shomati v'shochachti. You're right, that's what Hashem told me and I forgot. Fine, so we have a very, very interesting discussion that Moshe Rabbeinu forgot, and then Aaron corrected him. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu forget? Originally Hashem had told him they shouldn't eat the Seir HaShchodesh. And Moshe Rabbeinu forgot and he told them, yes, eat it. Chazal tell us, this is to be found in Rashi in Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chof Aleph. He quotes the Sifri. Lefi Shbo Moshe Bechlal Kaas Bo Lechlal Tos. Because Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, that made him make a mistake. And quotes the Chazal, because Moshe Rabbeinu got angry, therefore he forgot what Hashem had told him. Because he was angry with them, then he forgot. But so Mordechai is going to, I see Mordechai is bothered. Yes, Mordechai. Why was he angry? There's a catch 22 over here. Because he was angry, he forgot. But what was he angry about? That they didn't eat the chatos. But that's what Hashem told him. So why did he get angry? Once you forget, you get angry. You think they did the wrong thing. But before you're angry, you know they're doing the right thing. So why do you get angry? Mama Shapella, catch 22. What's Pshat? You hear Pesach? It's a pele. Once you get angry, it makes you forget. But if you didn't forget yet, you didn't get angry. Because you knew that's what Hashem said. So why did he get angry? But he did. So what's that? Hazal said if you got angry, because he forgot. No, because he got angry, he forgot. So why did he get angry? And that's what Hashem said. Sorry? But he did. Why? What reason? This point is addressed by the Or HaChaim. And the Or HaChaim says the reason is that he got angry because there were Moira Halacha Lefnei Rabbi. There's Halacha Talmud is not allowed to pass in Halacha Lefnei Rabbi. Both as Paskin Shulchan Aruch, Reish Mem Beis Siv Dalad, and Yerodeh, a Talmud cannot pass him with a rabbi. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't tell them not to eat the Seir HaChatos, Seir HaShchayit. He didn't tell them that. They worked it out themselves. They made the Kal V'Chomer. If Maisa Kal, you don't eat Baninus for sure. HaChatos, you won't eat Baninus. They worked it out themselves. So they're Mora Aloch of a rabbi. Which is awesome. The Chiddush is even for yourself. So for a Talmud to pass it for someone else, that's for sure forbidden. Meir halacha b'fnei rabbi is forbidden. Here, that even for yourself you can't pass it. It's Shitas HaRosh. Shitas HaRosh, wrote down in the Or HaChaim. A Talmud can't even pass him for himself in front of rabbi. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu was angry that why. Who allowed you to make the Kal V'Chomer? What heter did you have to be Mor Aloch B'fnei Rabbi? Should have come and asked me. I didn't tell you not to eat the Chatos. I didn't tell you that. So why didn't you come and ask me? Therefore you got angry. And because you got angry, you forgot. Good? What?
How did he forget? That's the subject
he's talking about. He forgot. That's what Rama says. Abo b'chal kas, bo b'chal tos. Once you get angry, you forget. So, Hashem made him forget.
Then the next one he forgot already.
Okay? But the shaila is, Ah, Sab Chaim Shmulevitz, Sichos Musa. Okay, so it's all worked out. So, they're Mura Aloha B'fnei Rabbi. Moshe got angry, forgot, that reminded him, and he admitted. In fact, Sab Chaim Shmulevitz, since he was Kadin angry, he was right to be angry, because they weren't supposed to be Mura Aloha B'fnei Rabbi. Even they got it right. So since he had the right to be angry, why did he forget? If a person gets angry for no reason, so he gets punished, he loses his Torah. But he had the right to be angry. They did the wrong thing. So since he had the right to be angry, why did he forget? Why did he come to a toast? So he forgot of Chaim Shmulevitz. Answers of Chaim Shmulevitz. He says that when a person gets angry and he forgets his Torah, it's not a punishment. It's not a punishment because he did a bad thing. He says it's like it's a metzius, like a knife cuts, even by mistake. You cut your finger by mistake. It cuts. My father's knives cut. And fire burns even by mistake. Likewise, kas, even its kadin, it makes you forget Torah. It's a metzius, not a punishment. Therefore, even though he had the din, he had the right to be makbid, he made habo b'chal kas, bo l'chal tos. As a result of Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichas Musa. Askana is for sure to avoid kas. If Moshe Rabbeinu got affected, what about us? At the end of the parasha, we meet about the macholas asurais, the forbidden foods, and we're told over there, this is to be found in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Mem Gimel and Pasuk Mem Dalet. Al teshaktus nafshei seichem b'chol asheret ha'ashayret, don't have forbidden foods. Don't become defiled, because you'll become defiled. Don't become impure, because you'll become impure. V'leisi tamu bohem, v'nitmeisem bom. Geshmak. Then the passage continues. Ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, v'iskadashtem, make yourselves holy and you'll be holy. Repetition. Says the Gemara in Yuma Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, V'roisitamu b'hem V'nitmeisem b'om. This repetition. Odo metamei Atzmoi ma'at. You make yourself a bit impure. Metamim oisai harbe. Nashamayim make him greatly impure. Milamato metamin oisa milamalo. Boyam haze metamin oisa ilolam habo. That's the first part of the Gemara. Gemara continues. Viskadashtem veisem gdoshim. Odo mekadesh atzmi ma'at. You make yourself a bit holy. Mekachin oisa harbe. To be made to be very holy. Milamato mekachim oisa milamala. Boilam haze mekachim oisa leolam habo. Fine. That's the double loshen. There's a middle connected middle. Tumor brings tumor and dusha brings dusha. Very nice. What does it mean? Odo metamai atzmi ma'at metamin oisa harbe. What does that mean? What if I did something tummy, it makes me very tummy? How could that be? Does that make sense? If I had 1 kilo of tumor, I developed 300 kilos of tumor. Rashi in Yom Lamites, he addresses the point. And he says, if you make yourself a bit impure, bit tummy, you'll be allowed to make yourself very much more tummy. Normally speaking, a person gets a siyata dishmaya, gets a protection. If you choose to make yourself a bit impure, you'll be allowed to make yourself very impure. No, get in your way to make yourself more and more impure. Says the Chofetz Chaim in the Shmirat Haloshein Chelek Beis Perek Beis, says this is a doichak, because metamin oisa harba implies an action, a positive. Wait, you to make you tummy, not that you'll be allowed to make yourself tummy. Therefore, the Chofetz Chaim has a different interpretation to what does it mean metamin oisa harbe based on the Zohar. Oh, Zohar, good stuff. Zog the Zohar. The Zohar says when a person speaks Lishna Bisha Lashon Hara or Mira de Tinufa, dirty speech, then there's ruchos in the heavens that hold onto these bad words, and when you say when he say Kedusha, when he sends Kodesh words up to Shemayim, these Ruchais will attach the Lishna Bisha onto those good words, onto the Kedusha, and it cancels the Kedusha. Ilin Ruchi Masavi, Mili Aus Masava, or Masavi Leilau Milsa Kedusha. When you later on you send your good words, your kedusha words, and they make them dirty. Says the Chofetz Chaim, that's pshat. A person makes himself a bit of tumah. He's in fact matame loisa harpe, because it's going to make many of your future mitzvahs will make them dirty. Boilam hazeh, it's the oilam habo. So milamato. Is the matter affects your neshama? Olam hazeh to olam haba. When a person comes to olam haba, he wants to be. He goes to kiss the covered. He wants to be seen in a nice way by Hashem. All of a sudden, these dirty words catch onto him. They wrap onto him, and they make him dirty. That's olam haba. So he says the moshul, says the Chofetz Chaim, a chosn is walking to his chuppah. On the way to the chuppah, dressed in those beautiful chosn clothes, and all of a sudden, some na'orim, some youths, throw the chosn some dirty sewage, and mamash, they throw it on his clothes, and he smells terrible, and the chosn says, "What are you doing to me? Where'd you get the sewage from?" And they say, "It's sewage that you prepared. You were one of us, and you prepared this dirty sewage." So that's pshat. Oilam hazeh, oilam habo. That the words that we say, it's still there, and it makes us dirty when we come up to Shemayim. That's by tumah, by kedusha. It's the other way around. A person who makes with a bit of kedusha, it turns into lots of kedusha. Why? Because bistruli pesach shel machat. If a person tries to overcome and tries to grow, pesach shel machat, Hashem will in response give him and he fahrachem kepischa shel ulam. That's the mekachim oisah harbe. Lamato mekachim oisah lamato. What you do over here was mekachim oisah neshama. And oilam hazeh mekachim oisah oilam habo. Come to oilam habo, we get dressed. They dress us with beautiful mitzvahs we've done. The kedusha we did dresses us. So therefore, this is what we learn from this week's parasha. He quotes Al Psukim, Leisitamud Ben, Benitmeisim Bom, Iskadishtem, Veisim Doishim. Make sure we have good words to say good things, and they're waiting for us. Just one last point, on a positive point. The Torah describes the simonim for a kosher animal and a non kosher animal. It has to chew the cud and have spit hooves. There are four exceptions. All animals either have both simonim and they're kosher, or they have none and they're treif. With four exceptions, the Torah tells us, the four animals who have one simon. And the Torah elaborates who they are. And the Torah says, to be found in Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Dalet, Ezeh Lo Teichlu. The number one is the gomel, the camel. Ki male gerahu. He is male gerah. But, or farsay, no mafrius. Then we have the shofon. Ki male gerahu. But, or farsay, no yafrius. That's our nevis. Ki male gerahi. Or farsay, no yafrisa. Then we have the chazir. Ki mafrius parsa. The gerah lo yigar. I saw Rabbi Avraham Pam, as I say from the Chumash, and he points out the Torah is giving us a message. When you need to speak out someone's fault, defaults, his chisreinus, don't forget to start off with his good points. Don't just mention a person's chisreinus. Start off with his good points, his positive points. The Torah doesn't just go to the point and say the gomel. Oh, it's not Malagera. The Torah deliberately speaks up first the positive point. The Gomel, is Madagera. Or Faustin, Heno Mafris. Shofan is Madagera, positive. But unfortunately, it's lacking. It's lacking the Parso. The Chazir is Mafris Parso. But it's lacking the Shaseya Shesa. It relates that once a father came to visit Rabbi Pam, ask about his son. Rabbi Pam told him very, very, how the boy's misbehaving, he's not serious, messing around, disturbing, disruptive. And the father says, okay, I'm going to call my son in. And Rabbi Pam's getting very worried, what's going to happen? And the father calls in his son. He says, you know what the rabbi says about you? He says, Baruch Hashem, you're learning, you have good kishroinus, but you could do better. That's what the father told the son, and the son developed to be a Talmud Chacham afterwards. Had he told him straight out what the Rebbe had said, it could have been detrimental. Rather, he chose to say that, start off with good, and then say the negative points that have to be spoken out about. Thank you very much. Our next shiur, in a few minutes' time, will be about water on Pesach. Is there any problem of drinking water from the Kinneret? Maybe does it have chomet inside? Yes, no. Is it mutar lechatchila v'dievet? That we should discuss together and see what the issues are drinking water on Pesach. Thank you very much. Have a good Shabbos.
I don't know what the source is, and I don't understand why this is. Also, with Elbo, the chazir will become kosher. It goes beyond logic. It goes beyond pshat. Why? Do you have any resource that would suggest why the chazir and why not all the other animals, but specifically the chazir? Why would that have an opportunity to become a kosher animal? It's strange.
Yes, yes.
It doesn't talk about the camel. It doesn't talk about the chazir. And I think the chazir is the one animal that is consumed in a great way by all the goyim and all the Jews who don't keep kosher. But that specific animal.
Good question.
Also, the explanation or the suggestion about Nut of Nevihu, that the following parsha talks about Shikurus, and you shouldn't drink, it's not reasonable to make an association between the parsha and the Misa of Nut of Nevihu. It goes beyond logic. I can't find that as an acceptable explanation.
There are a few explanations.
There are a few, but that one just doesn't hit it.
Maybe through the simcha, maybe because the simcha of the yoyim, they drank. I don't know.
I mean, you're talking about Moshe said that Nadav and Avihu
was greater than him.
Was as great as he was.
Uh-huh.
And anybody of that
nature.
Incredible height.
Uh-huh.
They weren't going to be walking into the Illinois, into the Mishkan. So, but the positioning of that parsha is a very strange positioning. If what I'm saying is true, which I think makes more sense than not.
Okay. So, Ian, right. Thank you.